Let's learn. Up to the third parak of Avos in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov on Pirkei Avos. Okay, again, there's a lot of pieces. It's interesting, as I'm learning the Sefer more and more, I'm realizing that many of the pieces are quoted from the Tzaddikim of Chabad, which is interesting, and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef a lot, but also other Tzaddikim, some Sfarim I've never even heard of, teachings that are attributed to the Baal Shem Tov. Very, very interesting and important Torahs. Okay, so let's see. Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion Omer. Rabbi Shnayis, we know, but let's remind ourselves. Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion said, Shnayim sheyoshin ve'in b'neim divrei Torah, hareza moshav leitzim. When two people sit together and they don't talk Torah, it's a gathering of scoffers. It's a gathering of fools. How could two Yidden sit together and not share any Torah? As David Melech says, David Melech davens, if a Moshev leitzim lo yashav, I don't want to be amongst. It's a tefillah. I don't want to be amongst those people who sit together and don't talk Torah. Aval shnayim sheyoshin veyesh b'neim divrei Torah. But if two people sit together and talk Torah, then shchina shriya b'neim, and the shchina is in their presence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention, and it's being recorded in Shemayim. And then the Mishnah says, and even if one person sits and learns Torah, Hashem gives that person great reward. You shouldn't think that that even a lonely Jew sitting and learning Torah by himself is inconsequential. Hashem gives reward to all Torah that is studied. But let's talk about these two people who sit together and are talking Torah. The Baal Shem Tov, obviously, for those who were here when we learned the Baal Shem Tov Shirim, the original Baal Shem Tov Shirim, we had a shir where we focused on the Baal Shem Tov's approach to Hashgacha Pratis. The Baal Shem Tov was all in on Hashgacha Pratis. The Baal Shem Tov believed that if anything happened in this world, it's with unbelievable Hashgacha Pratis. So we worked to reconcile that with the Sheet of the Rambam and other tzaddikim throughout history who had a more limited understanding of Hashgacha Pratis. But the Baal Shem Tov understood this Mishnah also in the way of Hashgacha Pratis. When two Jews get together, when any two Jews come together, right? When a handful of Jews get together on a Tuesday night to learn Baal Shem Tov on Pirkei Avos, there's a reason we're all here. And it goes beyond whatever we think we're doing here. There's some hashgacha that governs the fact that we're here tonight. There's a reason we're connecting with each other in this way at this time. If two people happen to meet each other, and I think about this all the time, I think about, you know, if I would have gone to a different yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for the year, so what would that mean in terms of people who I love so much, who I'm so connected to, and I never would have even met them? Who knows when I would have met them, if ever? It changes the trajectory of a person's life. If I hadn't been in a certain place, would I have met my wife? So when two people interact, when any two people interact with each other, there's a deep hashkacha pratis that's bringing them together. Explain the Baal Shem Tov. Kishashnei anashim nifgashim. When two people meet, when they encounter each other, Hareza al pi seder hashkacha elyona. This takes place with tremendous hashkacha. You've never met anyone in your life by chance. Va'akavana hi lenatzel esapegisha b'devar Torah u'mitzvos. And the way to make that moment meaningful, the goal of that encounter, is to share something spiritual with each other, to be able to unite in ruchnias, to share something in Torah and mitzvos. And very interestingly, the pegisha is always in both directions. In other words, the encounter always means that I need to learn from you and you need to learn from me. We each have something to share with the other one. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to leave some impact, some hashpa upon the other. Gam b'inyan shel Torah u'mitzvos v'lo rak b'tzedakah u'gemilas chasadim. Not sure exactly what that means, right? But the encounter has to be one of Torah and mitzvos, not just of tzedakah and gemilas chasadim. I guess tzedakah and gemilas chasadim are mitzvos that are you know, logical, right? So to get together with someone and to have a project which has a chesed orientation to it or a tzedakah orientation to it, that's still a lower level encounter. When two people get together in Torah and mitzvos, so that's a higher level encounter. But the point is that it's not by chance, and that's an important thing to think about. Whenever I meet someone and I engage in small talk, don't engage in small talk. Think of it as an opportunity for two Jewish souls to reunite and make something more of it. It's not by chance that you happen to have met up with that person. Okay? Definitely something to think about And we have many such encounters in our life, so it's important to know how to grab those moments and to make them meaningful. Okay, so that was two people who meet up and learn Torah. How about three people who are sitting together and eating a meal? Well, says Rabbi Shimon, Shlosha she'achlu al shulchan echad, b'lo amru alav divrei Torah, ki'ilu achlu mezivchei mesim. Says Mishnah Dalet. Again, Pirkei Avos is broken up different ways, so depending on which edition you're using, it may not be Mishnah Dalet, but at least in some versions of Pirkei Avos, it's Mishnah Dalet. Rabbi Shimon taught that if three people sit together, at one table, and they don't share words of Torah, it's as if they're eating from the Zivchei Mesim, from the slaughtering of the dead. Now, loosely explained, it means like it's an Avodah Zarah Karban, right? Or it's some type of pagan ritual. It certainly doesn't have, the sanctity of a meal of Jews. How could there be a meal? How can they engage their bodies without simultaneously engaging their souls? But says the Mishnah, but if three people sit at a table, then it's like you're sitting at a Kadosh Baruch Hu's table. You invited God into the meal. Okay, Chavi, this is a wild one. You ready for this? Okay, don't be startled. It's a little spooky, but don't be too startled. The Baal Shem Tov explained the following idea. It's based on the Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Listen to this. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, woe to the children who are exiled from their father's table. The Gemara says, "Oy levanim shegalu me'al shulchan aviyam." Right? Woe to the child who gets kicked out of his house, that his parent says, "You know, gotta leave the table. I don't like the way you're acting." The Gemara uses that to describe some of the feelings that a Jew has in the period of the Chorban. Right? It's as if our father has thrown us out of the house. It's a terrible feeling. So, woe to the children whose father has exiled them from his table, has chased them out of the house. However, Shemati b'shem Harav Akadosh, Harav HaMagid, the Magid of Mezrich, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, or in the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov, who explained that Shalosh Sha'achlo HaShulchan Echad, V'lo Amru Lav Divrei Torah. What is the lost opportunity when three people are eating together? Again, we just learned in the last Mishnah that when two people get together, even without food, they should share Divrei Torah. So what's the Chiddush of three people eating together that it's so important that they share Torah at that meal? And why is it as if they ate from the karbanos of the dead? What does that mean, the karbanos of the dead? Is that just a derogatory way to speak about idol worshippers? So explain the Baal Shem Tov. Ki ha-meis mizgalgel b'maychel adam. A dead person sometimes comes back in the form of food. A person sometimes needs a tikkun in this world. So a person will come back, right, as a bean that will find its way into a cholent. And when a Jew eats that cholin on Shabbos, the Chavit Shabbos Kodesh, or the Oneg Shabbos Kodesh, right? And he eats it, and he enjoys the delicious, he delights in Shabbos. So that bean, which in a previous round of existence was a person, was an neshama, gets its tikkun. A person could come back as an animal. You could be a piece of chicken, God forbid. Halavai, we should all finish our mission in this world, not need gilgulim. But a gilgul means that a person comes back, and sometimes people come back as animals, and that animal might end up on someone's table as their dinner. So when a mace is misgalgil b'maychal adam, when a person or some degree of a person's neshama is trying to receive its tikkun by being eaten by someone in this world, so imagine the difference if a person eats it just for his own gluttonous pleasures, or he eats it in the context of what? Of a sudas mitzvah, or in the context of divrei Torah. When a person shares the Torah in the presence of that food, al yedei zeh machai oso ha-meis shaya b'gilgul zeh, he brings chiyus, he brings purpose to that gilgul, to that person who came back in the form of a piece of meat, or a piece of chicken, or a chulin bean. Avalim lo amru divrei Torah. But what a scary lost opportunity. It's a little bit of a spooky idea, right? That your dinner might be some gilgul of someone from a previous lifetime. But if a person fails to share the Divrei Torah in the context of that food, azoveach oso ha-meis, then you're shechting, what did the Mishnah say? Zivchei meisim. That means the slaughtering of the dead. You know what that means? This person was a person. When he died, he needed a tikkun. He came back as a chicken. So then he was shechted, and now he ended up on your table. But you failed to say a Divrei Torah in his presence. So you failed to give him his tikkun. So you know what you did? You further slaughtered the dead. You killed that opportunity. So now he gets downgraded further. He wasn't a person. He came back as food in the form of a, you know, of an animal, a kosher animal that could be eaten, right? A piece of fish, right? But then you failed to eat it. So now it gets downgraded to an even lower level. It becomes a domim, right? Maybe that person will be reincarnated as a, I don't know, a rock or a park bench that some Jew maybe will sit on and share a Dvar Torah on. Who knows? But it's a terribly missed opportunity. And that's what it means, zivche mesim, right? You failed to, this person came back and he was shechted as an animal to be able to be food on a Jew's table. It was an opportunity to metakin and you blew it. And that's what it means in a very unusual interpretation. What was the line we started with? What did the Gemara say? Woe to the children who are exiled from their father's table. But the Baal Shem Tov said, and again, it's a little bit scary. Baal Shem Tov said, Oy Labanim, woe to the children, shegalu mi'al shulchan, who have exiled from their table, avihem, their own fathers. Now it's a weird vart because it's kind of creepy to think that like you're eating your great grandparents for dinner. Right, it's a little bit strange, but maybe some relative of yours needs a tikkun, and maybe that tikkun is coming in the form of the food that you're eating, and maybe if you make a really good bracha, then this person's neshama can reach a new level in the olam ha'emes. So oy labanim, woe to the banim who exile from their table. Ulami galu leze amar la'aviyam. We sometimes drive away others from our table, namely by failing to create that tikkun. Perish efshar shahaya aviv shalze oichel nizgagel b'maychalze. Maybe the food that you're eating is one of your own relatives. Again, a little bit weird to think about, right? But the idea is a very deep idea. The idea is that whenever we're engaged in achila, and it's a big sugya achila, we've been learning in our shul on Shabbos morning, we have a little chabur after Shachris, and we've been learning the Sefer Biyam Darkecha in Yoni Avodas Hashem, and we're learning the section on achila. And achila is such an important area of Avodas Hashem. We do it all the time. But to think that the food that I'm eating might be some nitzutz neshama that needs a tikkun, and to be able to eat with the right kavana, to realize that I could help a soul. I could help a soul that's struggling to find its way safely to the olam ha'emes. And that's a big opportunity when a person eats. It's a very big opportunity. Don't think it's just a piece of chicken on a plate. If I eat with the right kavanas, who knows whose neshama I might be helping in that way. Very deep idea. Okay. Mishnah Vav. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana taught that anyone who accepts upon himself the yoke of Torah, a person who brings upon himself the ol of Torah, the responsibility and the yoke of Torah, he removes from him ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. He has less concerns with the malchus, he's less weighed down by the government, by the Medina, by the world, v'ol derech eretz, and he's less burdened by what? By real-world responsibilities, by parnasa. If you work for Hashem, then you don't have to work for, you don't have to be subservient to other authoritative figures. But anyone who throws off the responsibility of Torah, Hashem says you have too much free time in your hand, what's Hashem going to do? He'll get you busy with other things. He places upon you the old malchus, the old derech eretz. He'll have the IRS come after you. He'll have your boss, drive you crazy and ask too many things of you. Okay? So to the degree that you make yourself subservient to Hashem, you free yourself from other troubles. Baal Shem Tov asks a very interesting question. Baal Shem Tov says, I don't understand. And by the way, this is a very good question. Baal Shem Tov says, I don't understand. How is it possible that a Jew could ever reach a state of prikas ol, of throwing off the yoke of Torah? Let's paint the scenario, says the Baal Shem Tov. And he connects it to the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Pasuk says, Al kol devar pesha, al shur, al chamor, al salma, al kol aveda, v'gomer. Right? The Torah is describing if a person is accused of misuse of any of these things. Right? So he has a shur, or a chamor, or a garment, or an aveda, and he's being accused of stealing that item, right? When really he was innocent. Let's say he was a shomer and he was watching these items, and then they were stolen from him. Right? So he's allowed to take a shrua. Right? This is sort of, I think this pasuk is the one of the sources for moda b'miksas. Okay, but it's talking about a person who's responding to a claim against him, a financial claim against him. I'll call devar pesha, right? Whatever the offense may be, whether it's a shur, a chamor, a shirt, a garment, a lost object. Right? The end of the pasuk is asher yomar ki hu zeh, right? That he identifies, you know, what responsibilities he takes or doesn't take for it. So the Baal Shem Tov, okay, well, what does that pasuk have to do with anything? We'll see. But the Baal Shem Tov asked the following question. We'll see how he connects it to the pasuk. Baal Shem Tov said, "Lechora, eich yachol lios guf shenola betara al yedei mikvah kshera. How is it possible that you could have a person who was born to a nice Jewish couple? The mother was tahor, the woman was permitted to her husband. She went to the mikvah, she was intimate with her husband, she became pregnant, they had a child." How could a child who came from such a place of purity, after all, umasha arbaim sa mitarim, that which a mikvah works, what is that? 40, so you go into 40 sa of water, and all of a sudden you go from being tamei to tar. Can I just take a bath or a shower? No, it has to be 40 sa of rainwater collected in a particular way. Why? I don't know. That's the rule. It's a shtickle chok. I don't really understand why it is. So masha arbaim sa mitarim zechuka. Shazat Indian Kabbalah soul. If I'm willing to do something that I don't understand simply because I believe that Hashem is commanding me to do so, so that's an unbelievable expression of what? Of Kabbalah soul, of accepting upon myself the yoke of heaven. So how could it be that a child, that a human being whose starting point is again, that came from such a place, a mother who went to the mikvah, a child that was born, a nice Jewish child, Eich Baal Neshama Indian Shal Prika soul. How does an neshama ever come to be porekol? How does it happen that a nice Jewish boy or girl one day decides, I'm throwing off my connection to Torah? Where does it come from? So the Baal Shem Tov saw the answer in this pasuk. Again, when a person gives his friend something to watch, and it's stolen from him, and now the friend comes to him and he says, "Nu, what's with my thing? I'll call Devar Pesha for whatever I'm liable for. Whether it's a shor, or it's a chamor, or it's a shirt, or it's a lost object, whatever I was watching," right? He comes to the court and he makes his declaration. So the Baal Shem Tov read the pasuk like this: Al kol devar pesha. Where does all of our pesha come from? Where does our pesha, where does our liability come from? The answer is this pasuk: Al shor. How did I get lost? I was a good, nice Jewish neshama when I came into this world. What happened? Each of the things in the pasuk is telling me what happened to me. Al shor, the shor is an ox. The ox is a work animal. It's very driven. It's very passionate. It works hard with great strength, right? It heats its body to drag the plow. So the shor is the Yetzer Hara. Sheshar shom ipnei shor. There's a part of the Yetzer Hara which is called shor, which is the passionate part of a person. Al chamor. A chamor represents the kriris, the coldness of a person. As the Gemara says, chamra afilu b'tkufas tamas krirala, that a chamor, that a donkey, even in the summer months, is cold. Hu mekar es achamimus shel shemesh Hashem. You could have a person, right? So how did it happen? Baal Shem Tov said, how did it happen that this nice Jewish person strayed? Maybe they got caught up in false passions. Maybe they became a cold Jew. Maybe al seh. What is a seh? When we think of a seh, we think of that sheep, right? That lone sheep, that wandering sheep. We think of the seh pizura, which Klal Yisrael Shem Tov is compared to. Kind of that wandering image of a sheep, you know, separated from the flock, right? Al seh, seh pizura. Maybe the person lost his way. Mashuhu mefazer atzom v'chol davar. Maybe I'm too all over the place. The seh represents the seh pizura. Maybe I'm too scatterbrained. Maybe that's how I lost my Kabbalah soul. Again, it's natural for a Jew to want to serve Hashem. But if I get caught up in the wrong types of passion, or if I become too chilled out, that I become so cold, that I lose my connection to Hashem, or I become too scattered, maybe I've spread myself too thin, that I don't have time for Hashem. L'chol u'misaviva kol nitzrach lo. He becomes all over the way. He needs to be involved in everything, and he needs to be connected to everything. where the pasuk says al salma. What's a salma? A salma is a garment. Maybe I'm too superficial, like a garment. Hainu levushim. Or al kol aveda. Maybe it's gotten to the point that my liability is such that I've become a lost object. Shal yedei zeh ma'avdim hakol ves yetziva sa'atzmis. Maybe I've abandoned my own inner sense of harmony and equilibrium. So yes, on the one hand, what the Baal Shem Tov is telling us is yes, there's a certain naturalness, as our Mishnah is telling us. Right? We're born with a sense of commitment to Torah and mitzvos, a Kabbalah sol machos shemayim. And how is it possible that a nice Jewish person whose mother was mavatal herself to go to a mikvah? A mikvah is not a logical thing. So this child's, you know, the conception of this child came about through a woman who was prepared to do something out of great respect for God. So how did it happen that this nice Jewish kid lost his way? And the answer is that the pesha came about from either being passionate and driven to the wrong things, to being too cold in Avodas Hashem, to being too superficial in Avodas Hashem, or to losing oneself to such a degree that I lose my sense of inner harmony. And that's a scary thought. That could leave a person to literally throw off the yoke of heaven. And chas v'shalom, none of us should ever know about that. Okay. Now we come to the most Baal Shem Tov Dika teaching of the night. It's one that goes to the core understanding of what it means to learn Torah as a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. We're all Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. So we need to understand, what does it mean to learn a Blad of Gemara in a Baal Shem Tov type of way? What does it mean to read a Pasuk in a Baal Shem Tov type of way? So says the Mishnah, Yaakov Omer, Hamahalech Baderech Vishona Umafsik Mimishnaso. A person is walking on the road and he's Shona and he's learning. Right? He's got his pocket Mishnayos. Right? He's driving and he's on the bus. Yeah, he's on his way. He's traveling somewhere. He's on a bus. He's sitting there reading a sefer. And all of a sudden, he's mafsik mimishnaso. He stops his learning. And he says, wow, ma na ilan zeh, ma na nir zeh. Look how beautiful that tree is. Look how beautiful that plowed field is. Wow, so much potential. We could plant so many things there. Ma le'alav hakasov ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. He is equated, the Torah considers it, as if this person has put his life on the line. How could he break away from learning Torah to look out the window or to stop on the side of the road to say, how beautiful is this tree, how beautiful is this field? Now, obviously, one of the questions is, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, yeah, we get it. Limud Torah is, a great thing, but so is acknowledging Hashem's beautiful world. That's not a value of ours. To say that Chai B'Nafsho, put his life on the line? So Baal Shem Tov explains as follows. Baal Shem Tov loved this pasuk. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, you should be wholesome. You should be tamim with Hashem. What does that mean? Peirush afilu kishetasuk b'Torah. That means even when you're im Hashem Elokecha, when you're learning Torah, make sure you're tamim. The Torah about which it says, Torah Hashem tamima. There's a way to learn Torah that's Tamim, and there's a way to learn Torah that's Im Hashem Elokecha, and there's a way, Chevra, and it's painful to say, but we all know it's true. There's a way to learn Torah where it's nothing other than an intellectual pursuit. I was talking to someone the other day, and he was telling me about something to do with his connection to learning Torah, and it was so not Lishma, what this person was describing. His whole connection to this particular project that he had in Torah was entirely not Lishma, had nothing to do with Hashem. So you could say on the line, okay, but he's learning. Yeah, he is learning, that's true. But Tamim Tiyah Im Hashem Elokecha, that even when I'm learning Torah, I have to make sure that I'm doing it for the right reasons. V'zeh v'shakasav Tamim Tiyah Afilu Beisak HaTorah. Tamim Im Hashem Elokecha. It's not just enough to say, well, Hashem, I'm reading the Chumash, so what? Chumash can be poison, the Gemara says. Torah can be poison if you don't use it the right way. Torah could be a weapon. Torah could be a criminal activity if you don't use it in the right way. Again, maybe that's an extreme, but it's possible. V'lo tomer sha'Torah nikreis memeila Torah Hashem. Baal Shem Tov said, don't tell me automatically that just because you're learning, you're reading God's Bible, that doesn't automatically make it Torah Hashem. Rak tashkiach hazehetev. But study it carefully. Be mindful of this. V'zeu she'inyon she'amru chazal. And that's what this Mishnah is telling us. The Mishnah says, "Hamahalich b'derech v'shona umafsik mimishnaso." Let's ask a question: "Dahave lo lomar umafsik mimishnaso." Why do I need this word right here? Shona. Hamahalach b'derech, if one's walking on the road, umafsik mishnaso, and he stops his learning. So that means, obviously, he's learning. Why do I have to say, one who's walking on the derech and they're learning, and then they stop their learning? Why do I need the word shona? Just say, if I'm walking and I stop my learning, that'll imply havayadin and havashona. We don't understand that he's learning. That's why he stopped. He stopped learning. Why do you need to say he's learning and he stopped learning? Furthermore, the Mishnah says, Mala alava kosav gilum ischaya benafsho. Right? The Pasuk equates it as if he's put his life on the line. What Pasuk? It doesn't quote a Pasuk. V'loma farish is a kosav. It doesn't tell us what Pasuk is he in violation of. V'yishlomar da perishu, shaholech b'derech hayashar. He's walking seemingly a proper path, right? He's walking a proper path. Afilu hachi hu yachidi. A person's mahalich b'derech, he's on the road, but he's alone. What does that mean? She'eino davuk b'Hashem yisbach. He might be learning, but he's not with Hashem. Mameila eino makayim akosav tamim tiyaim Hashem alokecha. He might be learning Torah Hashem tamima, he's studying Torah, but he's not with Hashem. Vishona umafsik mimishnaso. Meaning, Ratzalomar, mafsik atzo me Hashem yisbarach machmas mishnaso. Wow. He's shona umafsik mishnaso. The fact that he's learning is what's causing him to disconnect from Hashem. Dahainu, shabalo gadlus visparas machmas mishnaso. His learning is what's mafsik, he's mafsik mishnaso. His learning is causing him to disconnect from Hashem. Because he's becoming a bhagva. He's learning for all the wrong reasons. He thinks shesover shuchnaso. He thinks the learning is his, the Torah is his. He owns it. Va'omer ma na ilan zen. He says, how beautiful is it? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about himself. Al atzmo omer kein walibo. He knows that people say, oh, he's such a tamen chacham. He's such a wise man. He's a scholar. Ki adam eitz asada. A person is like a tree in the field. So he looks at himself one day as he's busy learning and people are saying, wow, look at this guy. He's so stark. He's such a tzaddik. He's such a talmud chacham. And he's doing it all for all the wrong reasons. And he says to himself, ma no ilan zeh. Wow, look at the chash of a tree that I've become. V'omer al atzmo dehu ilana dirava v'takif. Look at me. I'm a tree that's big and strong. Uma no nir zeh. And he looks out over this plowed field, this meadow, and he says, right, ah, look at this. What does it mean? What's he saying? Perish Shomer, Shemeichin Atzmo Chelech Be'olam Haba. Just like the plowed field is ready to receive the seeds and to be planted, he says, look at me, I'm also ready. I'm ready to get a nice portion in the world to come. Look at me, I learned so much Torah. V'lachein Ma'ala Alav HaKosav, Perish, Kosav Hanal. This Pasuk, the pasuk of Tamim Tia im Hashem Elokecha is what he's in violation of. V'zeo she'amu ma'ale l'avakasuv hazeh she'kolo kola Torah ki'ilu mischaya b'nafsho. Baal Shem Tov says the Mishnah doesn't have to say what pasuk. The pasuk that a Jew has to live every breath with. Tamim Tia im Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, that pasuk and the way this guy is living are exact opposites. Tamim Tia im Hashem Elokecha means to learn the Torah with sweetness and sincerity. And do it l'shem shamayim. This fellow, he does it for all the kavod. I'm a nice tree. I'm a nice field. He's doing it for all the wrong reasons. And because of that, mischaya b'nafsho, it's hard to justify his existence. This is not what Hashem created a person for. And this is not what Hashem gave Torah to the world for. So wow, what a scary idea. What a powerful idea. He's shona umafsik mimishnaso. He's learning, but his mafsik, his hafsaka, his disconnect from Hashem comes from his learning. It's not a given. It's so important to remember this. What the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, Torah could be a medicine or Torah could be poison. It's all a question of how a person orients himself towards Torah, uses it in the right way. So let's be careful to make sure that we don't fall into that trap to study Torah for all the wrong reasons. You have to ask yourself once in a while, why do I do any of this? Why do I have any sheiches to any of this? Okay, it's an important cheshbon ha-nefesh. All right, let's do two more. Rabbi Akiva Hayomer, who Hayomer? Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem. How lucky is a person, how fortunate is a person that he was created B'Tzalem Elokim. Right? What a great expression of Hashem's love for us is that He revealed to us that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim. Right? I wouldn't have even known. If I looked at myself in the mirror, I wouldn't know I was created B'Tzelem Elokim, but Hashem in His kindness wrote it in the Torah so that I should know it. And then, of course, the Hemshech of the Mishnah is even more special. It is to be a Jew. Chaviven Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakom. Right? We're not just called Tzelem Elokim, we're called Hashem's children. And Hashem revealed that to us in the Torah as well. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Okay. What is the idea of Tzelem Elokim? So the Baal Shem Tov explained, Vayivra Elokim Asadlim B'Tzalmo. Man was created in the image of Hashem. What does that mean? Iker HaAdam Hu HaTzelem Dmus Adam Shabo. The essence of an Adam, what makes you into an Adam and not an animal, is the fact that you have Tzelem Elokim. If you act like an animal, unfortunately, a person can lose their Tzelem Elokim. The Tzaddikim spoke about this. The notion of a person who does certain things that causes his Tzelem Elokim to disappear. It's a very scary idea, to lose one's Tzelem Elokim. That's the essence of a person. That's what makes you a human being and not an animal. The Zohar Kadosh actually writes in Parshas Noach, Kishachaya doreses as ha'adam, bevadai nidmala kebehema. If an animal attacks a person, it must be that the animal saw that person as another animal. Naturally, it should be, as Rashi brings on Chumash, that an animal should be afraid of every human being, even a little baby, even a little child, because an animal should have the ability to see the Tzelem Elokim on that person. But if, God forbid, a person doesn't have Tzelem Elokim, right? It doesn't matter how big or strong the person is, the animals will not be afraid. The animals will not be intimidated. They won't see an Adam as being greater than itself. Very interesting. Scary idea. Maintaining one's Tzelem Elokim. Don't turn yourself into an animal. So if a person is attacked by an animal, it's indicative of the fact that his Tzelem Elokim is not as strong as it needs to be. V'halach mimenu d'mus Adam. And therefore, he's lacking in that quality that makes him an Adam. Namely, that he's created in the image of God. He's lost that image of an Adam, machmas ha'averos sha'asa, because of the sins that he has done. Adam is gematria ma. Adam is gematria 45. Gematria, the word ma. And that's what it means when the Gemara says in Chagiga, Ezehu shota. What is the sign of a fool? Hama'aved ma shenostim lo. A person who loses that which is given to him. But the Baal Shem Tov read it, Hama'aved ma shenostim lo. Ma is gematria Adam. Of all the things that Hashem gave you, don't lose your what? Don't lose your Tzelem Elokim. That's what makes you an Adam. You're not an animal. The biggest sign of a fool is the fact that a person goes his whole life living like an animal. How could you lower yourself? Hashem made you an Adam. So a shota is a person who loses the ma, the Adam, that madrega that Hashem has given to him. Ratzalomer tzelem Adam gematria ma shenostim lo ma'olamas al yonim. The greatest gift God ever gave you, that you should somehow reflect the divine image. V'nikra shota im ibeid ze machmas shtus. And if he trades that away for some of the silliness of this world, he's a fool. As the Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Ein Adam over Aveira, Elim Keinichlas Bo Ruach Shtus. An Adam, if we knew who we were, if we realized we're Tzelem Elokim, an Adam doesn't do an Aveira unless he's overcome by a spirit of folly, a spirit of foolishness, a spirit of Shtus. And he lowers himself to act like an animal. He gives into his animalistic urges. And he loses his Tzelem Elokim because of that. So Chaviv Adam Shenever B'Tzelem, we have to appreciate, the Mishnah is telling us, appreciate how lucky you are to be an Adam. Don't lower yourself to the animal kingdom. Don't be a Shota who loses everything that's given to him. And last but not least, a beautiful mashal that in the Baal Shem Tov al Pirkei Avos is connected to this Mishnah, Mishnah Yotes, Hu Haya Omer, Hakol Nasun Be'ir Avon, Umitsuda prusa al kol achayim. Everything is given on collateral, and there is a net that is spread out over all of humanity. What exactly is this net? What does it mean that all of us are sort of under this net? Let's try to explain with a mashal from the Baal Shem Tov, quoted by the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Kisavo. Shamati mimori mashal. A mashal. Again, we're all living under Hashem's watch. But there's people who know it, and there's people who don't. It's a very intense image, a prusa, a net spread over the whole world, right? We're all under Hashem. It's like as if we're still, you know, kafalei marke gigas. We're still under the mountain, but we need to know that we're in Hashem's, you know, in Hashem's net, that we're under Hashem's watch. So the Baal Shem Tov gave the following mashal. Shehaya b'derech yar moshav litzdim. Once upon a time, there was a forest, and there were some bandits who were waiting in ambush to ambush people who were walking along the road alongside the forest. V'ayma'od zakana l'chol over derech shaman, who was known to be a particularly dangerous area. V'nizdami chalchu shnayim derech hayarahu. And one time, there were two individuals who were finding their way along that path, that forest path. Echad hayashikur kishechgursa shalot. One was completely drunk, like the shechrus of Lot, and the other one was of clear mind. And they were both attacked by the robbers. And the robbers, chasmu, v'gazlu, v'hikum, v'ptzom, the robbers robbed them, and stole from them, and beat them, and bruised them, v'nishra lahem rak nafsham l'shalal, and they barely escaped with their souls intact. Two terribly broken human beings after the robbers were done with them. All right, well, eventually they dragged themselves off the floor and they traveled on and they met a group of people and they saw these two individuals who were beaten from head to toe and they said, "Oi, what happened to you guys?" Uksas mehem shalu leza shikor eich avar derech hayar b'shalom alo. Right, so they said to this shikor who's trying to, you know, to cover up his wounds. They said, "No, what happened when he went through the forest?" Veheshev shalom einshum sakana klal. The guy was so drunk, he hardly remembered what happened to him. I said, "Yeah, no, it wasn't so bad. I remember it being so bad. Yeah, the forest, it's fine. Yeah, you can go on this path." Vishalo, I just noticed, like, as you were adjusting your shirt, I noticed you have these bruises. Vishalo, so ma ilo hakos v'chaburo sabitzom. I noticed you have a big gash on your face. What is that? That's not from the forest? V'eini odei lahashiv. And he didn't know how to respond. "I don't know. I don't remember. When did I get that gash? I don't remember. You look at your arms a little bit broken. No, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think that's from the forest." Okay, interesting. So then another group of people, they asked this person who was of sound mind. And he says, "Chas v'shalom. Oh, yeah, yeah, don't go anywhere near this forest. There are robbers waiting there to ambush you." And he warned them greatly. So now, these two people had the same experience with the robbers. The person of sound mind learned the lesson, and he warns people, "Don't you dare go there unless you're going armed, unless you're going very quickly. Make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into." As opposed to the drunk person, he's too caught up in his own shtuyot to even be mindful of what's happening to him. V'kach tzadik oved Hashem. Explain the Baal Shem Tov. The same thing is true about a person who is self-aware and self-reflective. A person who is yodeya m'melchemes hayetzer hara. A person who understands that this world is a dangerous place. And a lot of things can go wrong. U'milastim b'derech oved Hashem. U'milastim b'derech oved Hashem. Shuhu mesukan. Right? This person understands the Yetzer Hara is trying to get me. And there are many traps. There are many things that are trying to destroy me on the path of Avodas Hashem. And he knows that. And because of that, he understands, he knows how to avoid those traps. And he knows how to guide other people to not stumble in those traps. He learns from his negative experiences. Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. Masha'en Ken Arasha. As opposed to a person who, God forbid, goes through this world totally, totally lacking self-awareness, never stopping to realize, look what's become of you. Look how wounded you are. Look what a broken person you've become by not pursuing a life of Torah and mitzvos. Remember when you were, you know, when you were doing better in your Torah and mitzvos, you were more dedicated, more committed. Remember how much happy you are? Remember how much more wholesome your life was? As opposed to a person who's drunk on Taivas Olam Hazeh. He doesn't even realize what's going on. Everything's good. He's totally unaware of the dangers of this world And of course, such a person will probably go back to the forest another time, and who knows if he'll survive it the next time. Maybe next time he won't make it out by the skin of his teeth. A wise person understands there's a net. There are all sorts of traps that are laid throughout the world. And again, our job is to learn how to navigate them in a very careful and thoughtful way. Okay, so let's just review for 2 seconds. What did we learn tonight? We started off by saying that when two people get together, when two people meet, it's not by chance. They have to use the opportunity of Hashgacha Elyona to share Torah with one another, and that they each need to benefit from each other. But there's nothing random about that encounter. And again, we meet many people over the course of a lifetime. Make sure you make those encounters meaningful. Then we learned about Shlosha Sha'achlu al Shulchan Echad, and how sometimes the food that we're eating is a Gilgul of someone from a previous lifetime. It may even be our own relatives, and we should be so careful not to squander that moment to help that person achieve their tikkun. And then we learned about how could it be a person ever comes to Prikas Ol, if a Jew is born to nice Jewish parents, if they're permitted to each other and they bring a child into this world, how could that child be anything other than a proud Jew? And the answer is, Al Kol Davar Pesha, all of the failures, all of the responsibilities, all of the accountability that comes from Shor, from being too passionate in the wrong way, Chamor, being too cold in the wrong way, Salma, being too caught up in the garments and the superficiality of life, Al Kol Aveda, to the point that a person loses themselves completely. And then we learned about walking on life's road, and how when a person is traveling through life and learning Torah, it's not enough, because sometimes he's shone umafsik mimishnaso, his learning drives him away from Hashem. Tamim tia, even when you're with Hashem Elokecha, and don't pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a beautiful tree, I'm a beautiful field, I've got Olam Haba waiting for me. Learn Torah with wholesomeness and honesty and humility. And then we learned that there's no greater loss than squandering your tzelem Elokim. Right? Make sure that you're not a shota who's ma'abed ma is gematria adam. And the fact that you're an adam means you're created b'tzelem Elokim. Don't be an animal. And you allow yourself to become subject to the attacks of animals. And then last but not least, this powerful mashal of the person who knows that he's living under Hashem's net, and that the world is filled with many traps, and he's self-aware, and he tries to learn from his mistakes and warn others, versus the person who stumbles his way through life and says, you know, I don't have to bother with any of this. I get my quick highs from the Yetzer Hara, and I don't even realize how dangerous this world is. Okay, so some very, very good, very, very thoughtful teachings from the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. Okay. Yashar Koyach, Chevra.